We're talking Cavs here on today's show, and we're going to return to the hotline as we bring in a voice you are all familiar with, Jim Chones, color analyst on the Cleveland Cavaliers Radio Network, joining us. Jim, thank you so much for the time. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Well, I want to get into these first three games of the season. And, you know, if you simply took a look at the numbers and did not watch the games, you'd see the Cavaliers are surrendering a ton of points this season. You know, and of course, you know, Jim, you've seen all three of these, you've observed and you've analyzed all three of these games already. To what specifically do you attribute the Cavaliers' early struggles defensively?
Well, let me say first, we lost a 30-point scorer, a guy that was giving up about 10 assists a game, and most of them were to threes to open teammates. So most of the summer, I've been saying the key for us is get to 100 points. I had no idea the defense was going to be this bad. They are averaging right now about 113, 114 points a game, enough to beat most teams in our league. But the defense is really slack. And there's a multiplicity of problems. And one of the problems is you've got new personnel, and these guys are finally going to have to get out there and produce defensively. Now, when you play faster, that means you're shooting earlier in the clock. That means there's going to be more possessions for not only you but for the opposition. So taking that into account, you've got to play some more defense, probably more defense than many of those guys are used to playing. But when you're not making shots and you're shooting early in the clock and they're running down the floor in space, 3-on-2, sometimes 3-on-none, and scoring at a high percentage, you can't win in this league. So there's got to be some changes. I don't know if it's personnel, probably so, somewhere down the line. I was trying to wait to 20 games, but we're giving up so many points defensively that we've got to do something better than this.
Well, and as you mentioned, it's a multiplicity of problems, no doubt about that, and scoring is certainly up across the board. How much of these struggles do you think has to do with that specifically, with the NBA's new freedom of movement rules?
I think at least half of it, because it restricts your bigs. Because when your bigs show on that high dribble screen, which nobody in our league seems to be able to defend against, sometimes if they're caught late, they will hold the screener, wrap on the screener, and as the guy comes off, they may even try to wrap around him to make him back up a dribble so they can stay in front of him position-wise. So they're trying to eliminate all of that. And I want to see how effective it's going to be. Now, we've only played three games, and let's see how they continue to do this. When I see them check Draymond Green, who wraps and holds because he's a small guy, but he's very aggressive, then he minimizes his size. He maximizes his ability to defend by holding, grabbing, and wrapping. Now, the problem with us is that our defense, our bigs are not getting back on defense. Hey, let me tell you one philosophy that some people say. One philosophy in our league says, based upon playing small ball and playing faster and the three-point in transition early in the clock, why would you go to the offensive board? Because going to the offensive board, if you don't get it, it's 4-on-5. You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
So there's always going to be one man open, and so all the offense has to do is find the open man. So the Cavs have to be a little more organized. Love brought it up the other day. He said, well, you know, when I see Tristan lower than me or he's doing whatever he's doing, I know he's going off his board, then I got to get back, and vice versa. You know, so it's got to be a little more structured, a little more organized in how they're going to do it. You know, I just believe that we have just got to – you know, we've got to be more focused on defending every time down the floor. Because as of right now, we have not been able to control the pace of these games because we can't stop the opposition.
I know Nate McMillan had made comments about not being too pleased with these freedom of movement rules. And as you mentioned,
it's tough.
Yeah, I mean, we're only three games in, so I think we need to give it at least a little bit more time here. But, you know, if the games continue – to have these many points scored. I don't know if that's necessarily good for the game or bad. There's a large contingency that still seems to believe that the more the scoring goes up, the more eyes you're going to have on these games. Is this a good thing, you think, necessarily for the NBA?
Well, it's a good question. It's entertainment, you know, and people in America like to see points scored. You know, that's our mentality. But the problem is, how many games can you win, you know, and can you put defense on when necessary based upon time and score to give yourself a chance to win? And I think we're at that point right now. I know it's early. You know, I hate to talk like this, but it is a reality. We're 0-3, and it's not so much being 0-3 and losing three games at the buzzer or by one. It's losing these games because it's very obvious that our defense is not up to par. So we've got to figure out a way that we can defend better. That may mean minimizing offensive rebounding, maybe Love and Tristan, you know, they got to get back. They got to get back. And then our guards have to know that they're coming or they're already back to give them support so they can get up on dribblers and find the shooters. The cry on defense now in this age is find the shooters. Find the shooters in transition. If you can't do that, then you end up like us, 0-3.
Again, Jim Chomes, color analyst with the Cleveland Cavaliers Radio Network, is our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. One of the guys that has certainly played and scored extraordinarily well this year, Jordan Clarkson, he changed his workout routine and he changed his diet in the offseason. Jim, how much of that do you think has translated into his on-court success early on?
Well, let me tell you like this. A consciousness that takes into account your nutrition is everything to me. I'm vegan. I'm about 50-50. I'm vegan and I'm plant-based vegan. So I eat a lot of green stuff, a lot of alkali stuff. And I'm telling you, it's more than just a notion. He had to come to some kind of mental conclusion that he wanted to get better and that his diet was minimizing his opportunities to be a better player. Now, the other thing about Jordan, he worked out with Kobe all summer. Oh, yeah, and you know what Kobe creates? Baby mambas. But the problem we've always had with Jordan is his efficiency. You know, he was just shooting last year to be shooting because the ball was in his hand. That's not good enough. He has to be more efficient, and so far, so good. You know, he's taken a couple of wild shots, but most of his stuff that he's shot the ball, he's been on balance. He's had nice follow-throughs. He's done some catch-and-shoot stuff. All of that stuff is going to play in his favor. If he's playing this well this early, wow, look out NBA, because this guy is really getting the job done.
Yeah, no question. It's going to be tough to keep him on the bench if he continues to play this way. And in the fourth quarter of the opener against the Raptors, boy, he really kind of kept them in the game in the early stages of the final stanza of that one. Clarkson is one of those guys that's been a heck of a lot of fun to watch so far this year. Another guy we expect to say the same kinds of things about throughout the duration of the season is rookie Colin Sexton. Jim, just early impressions of the young rookie. Where do you think he's dazzled the most? And I guess on the other side of that spectrum as well, where do you think he still has the most room for improvement?
Well, to me, potentially, he has this. From what I've just seen, I mean, I don't have a complete book on him. I've only seen him in three games. But in my estimation, based upon some of the highlights and things that I've seen him do and the way he thinks and approaches the game, he has the chance to be our best player. I don't know if that's going to happen by the end of the season or something we can look forward to next season. But he has the potential. I think he was a strong draft pick. He was perfect for us. We needed a twofer, a guy that plays offense and defense. He's a smart kid. You know, he was honors in college his first, the only year he spent. He was honors in high school, so he's a very bright kid. He's got a good game. He needs to improve his jump shot. I think that's pretty obvious. But I'm telling you, when he gets in a rhythm, even that shot goes in. But I just think that Colin Sexton can be as good as he wants to be. He's that good already. It's just up to him how dedicated he wants to be and all the things he thinks he has to do.
Well, I think that's an individual we're going to be talking about a ton throughout the regular season. And look, as an eighth overall pick, we should be speaking about him extensively, no question. Well, you know, a lot of the talk the last couple of days has been about the rotation moving forward with the Cavs. And again, so many moving pieces and parts to this roster, a lot of young guys and a lot of veterans as well. Do you anticipate any changes coming in the next couple of days with this rotation for the Cavaliers?
I don't know. This is, it's not like we don't have guys that can't play. It's just a matter of who do you put out on the floor and at what time and who can help you indirectly or immediate, or down the road. You know, we've got a lot of similar players, and I think what's going to happen is Lou has a lot of confidence in our veteran players. You know, he's got a lot of confidence in JR, and he's got a lot of confidence in Tristan and some of the older guys. I would not be surprised just to get some stability, and so those guys can observe how we try to defend with our veteran guys, and try to build from there. Try to get some consistency. The problem where it's going to hurt is you defensively. But I think the X factor is Larry Nance. I honestly believe that young Nance. With his ability to make plays, ball handling, and play in the air, and he's totally committed to defense first, I think that he could be the X factor that could help us turn this thing around with some of our veterans.
Certainly seems to have a lot of those intangibles, no question about that. And, of course, the Cavaliers tonight take on the Brooklyn Nets down at Quicken Loans Arena. At the beginning of the year, Jim, it certainly looked like on paper this was one of those games the Cavaliers could look to and feel pretty confident about getting a win in. The Nets come in at 1-2 on the year. Who or what should we be watching for in this matchup tonight?
Well, the thing about the Nets is that they're fast. They've got 6 to 8 guys who are all about the same size. They're all athletic. They score. They can put it on the floor. And to their coach's credit, I think his name is Marks, to his credit, they run. Now, there aren't many teams that run. There's a lot of teams in our league that play fast, meaning that they look to score early in the clock. But these young guys can run, and they defend. They switch everything because they're all about the same height. They can cause a lot of problems if you're careless. If you get into a running game with them, you better be making shots because they're going the other way and they know how to finish.
Again, Cavaliers will tip at 7 o'clock tonight against the Brooklyn Nets. 6:30 pregame here on AM 930 WEOL. Jim, we appreciate the time so much. Thank you for joining us and have a wonderful call tonight.
Yes, thank you.